This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
The New Yorker Radio Hour is supported by the Sympathizer podcast from HBO. From executive producers Park Chan-wook and Robert Downey Jr., The Sympathizer is the new HBO original limited series based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel of the same name. On the Sympathizer podcast, join host Philip Nguyen in conversation with the cast, crew, and author Viet Thanh Nguyen as they discuss the making of this historic series. Stream new episodes of HBO's The Sympathizer, Sundays exclusively on Max, and listen to The Sympathizer podcast wherever you listen to podcasts.
Listener supported, WNYC Studios.
The other day, I talked to Rachel Syme, who writes for us about fashion and culture, and we talked about what she's been reading. And for Rachel lately, it's all about glamour and old-fashioned show business.
I always feel like books have a season that they tell you to read them in. And for me, summer is the season of the classic Hollywood memoir. Well, mostly because they're glamorous and full of champagne and spangles and Marabou, but also because, you know, in a time, especially in this early period of Hollywood, memoirs became this place where primarily women, actresses, could tell stories about misogyny, about racism, about on-set abuse that were not getting told in the mainstream.
What is the best one ever? What is the, you know, in spy novels, people say The Spy Who Came In from the Cold is like the model spy novel. Or what is the very best celeb bio that you've ever read?
You know, I think I have to say for me, it might be Gloria Swanson's 1980 mega doorstopper memoir called Swanson on Swanson, which is 500 pages or so and covers basically the entire 20th century of entertainment. You know, she started in silent film and then had sort of a second life in Sunset Boulevard. And she was in love with Joseph Kennedy on the side. And so there's just political intrigue and the birth of Hollywood and parties at Hearst Castle. And she is so high on her own supply. I swear, this is just like such a I want to read you a little bit just to give you a sense of how much she loves herself. When she made Sunset Boulevard, her big assertion was that no other woman in Hollywood was brave enough to take on the role of Norma Desmond because it was a role of a has-been. And so she took on this role. Obviously, it was the role of a lifetime. She's incredible in it. Louis B. Mayer had a dinner party to show the movie to a lot of Hollywood insiders. And she said that it's so affected all of these older actresses that she had done this role. And she wrote, "People clustered around me and I had trouble moving up the aisle. Barbara Stanwyck fell on her knees and kissed the hem of my skirt. I could read it all in their eyes, a single message of elation. If she can do it, why should we be terrified? She's shown us that it can be done." I have never read anything. I read it when I was a teenager for the first time, and I feel like I had never read anything so self-aggrandizing and so self-mythologizing in my life that I was like, I didn't know you could do this, you know, that somebody could write this kind of buildings Roman for themselves.
Gloria Swanson on Gloria Swanson sounds fantastic. I you know, I read a lot of these music memoirs too, and I'm not a big theater guy, but the Moss Hart memoir, Act One, is pretty great.
Act One.
Yeah.
Yeah, Act One. That's a wonderful, I think, you know, New York Broadway memoirs are their own category, which would be great for the summer as well. And yeah, that Act One is great. You know, Stephen Sondheim's Finishing the Hat. I mean, all these books that are about theater. I love backstage intrigue. I love anything that sort of tells you what's going on behind the cardboard and the papier-mâché. You know, I like anybody that peels back the curtain on showbiz. But the thing about celebrity memoirs that's always great is, like, as they're peeling back the curtain, they're putting another scrim up of, like, you know, obfuscation and elaboration and just basically saying that things happen that will never be fact-checked.
And there's no fact-checking, by the way, on any book really still, but definitely on not on classic Hollywood memoirs. I mean, they could be entirely fabricated.
We're probably a little grateful for that.
Absolutely.
What have you been reading lately that hits the mark for you?
Yeah, so another book that I think is really great for the summer, especially because it involves a summer activity, is Esther Williams' autobiography called Million Dollar Mermaid, which, for the people that don't know, she was sort of the inventor of the swimming picture.
She was an Olympic-level athlete, a competitive swimmer, and she actually qualified for the Olympics, but she couldn't go because the year that she was supposed to go was 1940 to the Tokyo Games, and because of World War II, obviously those games never happened. So she changed tacks, and she becomes this star of these crazy, trippy Technicolor swimming movies where Busby Berkeley's doing the choreography and all these women are jumping in a row. That move where all the women jumped one after the other, it's called the tiller because it resembles a plow.
Uh-huh.
She basically invented synchronized swimming. Waterproof mascara was basically invented for her. She had a fascinating life. She ended it by doing LSD with Cary Grant, but that's a whole other story. But she does go into it in the memoir. But
let's concentrate on the LSD with Cary Grant.
Well, Cary Grant told her to do it because he was like, if you're depressed, it will open your mind and change your life. And then she did it, and she was like, it did. And then I was really into it for a long time in the 60s. And it was, you know, she's like self-medicating.
Esther Williams was an acid hit. That's fantastic.
She was microdose. I think she was closer to microdosing. God bless her. She was using it for depression. But yeah, I mean, she was an athlete. So it's almost like a sports memoir, you know. She's using her body in ways that are punishing.
So there's this amazing scene in the book. It happens during the filming of her blockbuster 1950 picture, Million Dollar Mermaid, the title of her memoir as well. And for this film, she had to go on a 50-foot hydraulic lift and dive off. Well, here's what happened. While she's up there, she realizes she's wearing the absolute wrong costume to do this kind of high dive. She's wearing a chainmetal bathing suit thing and an aluminum crown. And she realizes that it's going to hit the water hard. She is being encouraged to dive off by Busby Berkeley and the director. They're all saying, jump, jump, jump. So she does. But in midair, and this is in her memoir, she literally says out loud to herself, oh shit, because she knows it's going to be a terrible landing. She hits the water with a thud. She breaks 6 vertebrae in her back, and then she doesn't work for 6 months.
Jeez.
She is just out of commission. And then as soon as she's healed, pretty much right away, the studio asks her to get back into the suit and start again. So that's being a contract player in Hollywood in the 1950s.
Rachel, that is an amazing story. I mean, almost destroyed by the wrong swimsuit. Who else have you been reading?
Well, I have been revisiting the second memoir by the great cabaret singer, actress, dancer, kitten extraordinaire, Eartha Kitt, who, you know, wrote 3 memoirs, I believe, but the second one is called Alone With Me. And it was written in the 1970s, and it's notable for many reasons, but the thing that I love most about it is her acknowledgement section, which is kind of a burn book of everybody who has ever wronged her over the years, where she starts out, by the way, by thanking the CIA, which the year before her autobiography was published, it was revealed, had kept a dossier on her for years. And also she was being followed by them because she had said during a luncheon with Lady Bird Johnson that she was against the Vietnam War, which kind of blacklisted her. And the dossier basically said she was a woman of loose morals and not to be trusted. So in her autobiography, she opens it by saying, there are people in my life who have been more than incidental, but whom I found impossible to weave into the fabric of this work without digression, so I couldn't quit the book without at random throwing a few brickbats or bouquets to, the CIA, who has established my reputation with men who want to believe that I'm an infomaniac, but who should leave the writing of fiction to authors who don't write it at the taxpayer's expense.
Woohoo. Well done.
I mean, well done, wait, Eartha. Spicy opening. Spicy yeah. Opening.
And do they write them themselves? I mean, I'm an addict of books by a guy named David Ritz, who's an as-told-to person who's done all these books with Aretha Franklin and Marvin Gaye, B.B. King. And he's masterful at getting them to tell their stories in a way that you've never heard them before, but he's clearly shaping it and participating in this talent.
Sure. So I'd say 90% of celebrity memoirs are not written by the celebrities themselves. It's a lot of as told to. Gloria Swanson's memoir is an interesting story because her memoir was co-written with a man named Brian Degas, who was an art gallerist in New York, who sold the book to Random House without her consent and then showed up at her door and said, "You're going to work with me on this." And because she was 80 and ready to like cement her legacy, she was like, "Great."
Wow.
But that's a rare one. Usually they'll have a ghostwriter lined up. But then there are the memoirs that are undeniably written by the people themselves. And that's the last one I want to bring up with you today, which is, of course, the wonderful and amazing Carrie Fisher, who I reread Wishful Drinking this year, which is a kind of extension of the one-woman show that she did. She was a brilliant writer in addition to an actress. But that's my favorite of her memoirs, Wishful Drinking, because it gets so deeply into her background as part of a Hollywood dynasty, I would say, but also a Hollywood dropout, a Hollywood resistor, somebody who's tied to it for the rest of her life, no matter how hard she tried to get away. I love that book because it's so raw and honest about Hollywood and how it messes you up.
Rachel, is there a moment in Carrie Fisher's books that really stands out to you?
In the chapter about Star Wars, she is explaining that George Lucas wouldn't let her wear a bra because his theory about space was that in zero gravity, your body will expand, so you couldn't wear underwear or something crazy.
Oh, okay, time out. So he had a space underwear theory?
Yes, he was like, a bra wouldn't work, an underwire wouldn't work in space because when you're in space, your body expands and whatever. It left her braless.
Whatever, indeed. Jesus.
So she had this whole funny theory about, he was like, your bra would strangle you in space. That's basically what he told her. And so she wrote in her memoir, one of the greatest sentences I think written, and especially poignant given that, you know, she passed away. She wrote, "I think this would make a fantastic obit. So I tell my younger friends that no matter how I go, I want it reported that I drowned in moonlight, strangled by my own bra." So if someone has a sense of humor about being famous, it's definitely her.
Well, these books sound like a great way to finish an arduous summer season in many ways. Rachel, thank you so much.
Thank you, David.
Rachel Syme, who writes about style and culture for The New Yorker, and she's published a big piece about celebrity memoirs on our website with audio and images and readings of some of those favorite books. It's a lot of fun, and you can find it at newyorker.com.
I'm Ira Flatow, host of Science Friday. For over 30 years, our team has been reporting high-quality news about science, technology, and medicine. News you won't get anywhere else. And now that political news is 24/7, our audience is turning to us to know about the really important stuff in their lives. Cancer, climate change, genetic engineering, childhood diseases. Our sponsors know the value of science and health news. For more sponsorship information, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.